The more interesting thing about this England squad is the furore around fucking Ben White. I mean, this doesn't matter at all. Like, what? Like, why are we talking about this? Like, why is this? Why is this a talking point? We're talking about Ben White. We're talking about the England right back spot. He doesn't get in within an ass's roar of the England team unless Lemony Snicket got involved.
Tim Sherwood here. You're listening to the Villa podcast. That morning sky gave me a look. So I left while you were sleeping.
That's all it took. And that John Gregory once said, if I had a gun, I would have shot him. And maybe Unai Emery loaded up from Sunday. Maybe he fired some shots at his own players, or maybe he just gave them some ammunition and said, go out there and stick four bullets in those Ajax players, and bang, 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 Aston Villa, for the first time since John Gregory's team beat Steaua Bucharest in 1998, they went into the last eight of European competition. We put to bed the Spurs game on Sunday, and we marched on, beating a European giant and going all the way to the last day, the quarterfinals of the Conference League. Here we are, Liam. This is big time now. We are in the business end of the season.
We absolutely are. And I was sitting down enjoying my lunch today, and you're talking about them being a big giant. So I was sitting there on my own, so naturally enough, I was eavesdropping on the conversations going on around me. And this woman sat down next to this man and said, Adrian, is it? Andy. Andy, yeah. How's the baby? Still counting in weeks? No. First birthday there in February. Oh, lovely. Little boy, right? No, girl, Emily. Oh, so girl, boy, girl. Two boys and a girl. And then he spat me fucking sandwich out. You don't know this man. I might as well start guessing. You got his name wrong and then you're ploying on with his family status. But then I was thinking, Jesus. You know, she didn't do too bad. Like, for a lad she doesn't know, she's nearly getting a lot right there. And then I was thinking, you know, she's a lot like Ajax. She's very close to getting things right. And Ajax are nearly a good team, but they're nearly getting things right. Even if you think about the fact that, you know, what would a young, flashy team really need? An experienced, cool-headed centre midfielder who's won it all. And they nearly got that right as well, except they signed Jordan Henderson.
Jordan Henderson was... He's got a certain gait to his walk, doesn't he? It's a walk with purpose. It really implies that he means business. He has no problem. He never has had any problem. And it has to be admired as well, because I definitely don't have this confidence in rollicking players who are obviously miles better than him, in giving out to boys for not doing things that he could never do. Do you remember I once said, you know, if I could do what I seen in my head, if I could do what I wanted to do, I'd be a half decent footballer. I mean, Jordan Henderson, forget about that. He has never even tried to do any of this stuff, but he knows that he can demand more from other people around. There's something to be said about that. He has no problem whatsoever in telling everybody else to be, if you 10 are better, we will get better.
Yeah, there was a moment in the Irish commentary last night where the commentator said, Henderson is whipping his foot around the ball without even looking where his attackers are. And he said it as a compliment. Imagine sitting next to Jerry Armstrong and sounding stupid. Fuck me. It was unbelievable. And I know I have a go at your pals in the media a lot, but they give you a bit of praise. I think the best, most beautiful, most descriptive thing you've ever written was whenever you described Jordan Henderson walking around as if he's carrying two TVs under his arms.
I wrote an article a few years back, you know, and I got dog's abuse for it. And, you know, I was brave enough to go there when Henderson was in his heyday and Liverpool were winning all around him and he was the captain. And I wrote the article under the headline, Jordan Henderson, the best worst footballer in the Premier League. And this article, believe it or not, was praising Jordan Henderson, the sort of thing that... Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, to give him his credit on the overlap there, they asked him, what did you think of Gary Neville? And he just said, I really admire what he got out of his career. And that's exactly how I feel about Jordan Henderson. I can't hate on him. Like, he has absolutely maximized what he's able to do. He completely put limits on himself so he will make less and less mistakes. He's made it okay somehow for all these managers to to find it okay that he kicks the ball away constantly because he's always on the verge of maybe somebody doing something to rescue the ball that he's played. And he does it over and over, and he goes over and demands a ball off somebody 2 yards away, and he'll roll to somebody 3 yards away, and he'll run over and do it again, and he'll do it over and over and over and over. And it's to be admired, really, the career he's carved out for himself.
Yeah, there was a glorious moment in the, I think it was in the second half, where Jordan Henderson had drifted back into right back. The ball was over at the left back. Jordan Henderson's walking forward into the right wing position, and he's pointing at the left back to pass the ball to the centre half. He's like, yeah, I know, mate. You're 60 yards away from this place. Stop getting involved. Just get back into fucking position.
Yeah. I think this is the experience that Gareth Southgate talks about when he's included Jordan Henderson in the England squad. I don't think anybody was surprised by it, really. Gareth Southgate said it's good that he's no longer in the Saudi league, because now we can see him at a higher level, and he's had a great impact on Ajax. They've won 2 games in 10 since he's gone there. They're not going well. He's not going well. I mean, last game in the league at the weekend, he was being hounded. I don't know if you saw this clip by a Dutch reporter. I mean, I don't think you would be slagging my pals in the media as much if you had this sort of cojones going around in the post-match interview. Somebody sent him, do you think that's the worst performance that we've played this season? Do you think it's one of your worst performances?
Oh, that's absolutely brilliant. And the only thing that made Jordan Henderson is, I think we can see what he's doing now. Like, well done, Gareth. I couldn't fucking see what he was doing in this game, except for the fact that going up on the Vyman meter, the director of that broadcast, who panned to Jordan Henderson every time we scored, regardless of whether or not he had anything to do with the goal at all, which, you know, as the centre defensive midfielder, he probably should have had a lot more to do with the fact that they were conceding 4 goals. But often he was nowhere to be seen. But the director found them and put the camera on them as he was pointing at the referee saying, it's a freak.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Well, let's talk about the goals, because Brendan on Twitter picked up the same thing I did. He said it's very sporting of Henderson to clap Ollie Watkins after the goal, because this was the first cut to Jordan Henderson after the goals, and he was obviously doing a Zinchenko on it. He was clapping his teammates, demanding more, just shy of getting them all to a huddle. And I was thinking as well, I mean, that must be why he's in the England camp. You know, it's the feel good factor. He brings a bit of unity to the squad, and he appreciated his England teammate Ollie Watkins rising up and heading into the net. And I'll tell you what I appreciated Ollie Watkins not giving up, not diagnosing himself to say, look, I think I'm out of here, I think I'm injured. No, he's going to see what he can do. He's going to see if he can last another 3 or 4 minutes. And Ollie Watkins on one leg in those 3 or 4 minutes can score a goal that opens up this European tie. Nobody scored in the first leg. Nobody had scored in the first 20 minutes of this game. And Ollie Watkins, through injury, picks himself up and says, let's see how my body really is. I know I'm in screaming and agony. I know I've got my shirt over my head. I was not happy seeing this, by the way. But then he gets up, he scores a goal. probably could have toned down the celebration a little bit in hindsight if he is injured. And eventually his body has to say to him, look, stop, just stop. But like, that's what you can get out of yourself if you can just switch that brain off every so often.
Yeah, I know we were both watching this thinking he's our kind of idiot. I know that not because of some brawlery intuition, but because we were texting each other about it. Like, he really is. He's our kind of idiot who will pretend he's not hurt rather than admit. Who will play with an ankle injury that's so bad that the bruise is on his fucking knee just so he doesn't create an imbalance in a recreational game of five-a-side for the last 15 minutes. Like, he's our kind of idiot. He'll sit in the GA pitch looking up the field at the lad who took the ball from him, annoyed at being dispossessed until someone else points out that your ulna and radius are now your ulnae and radii and poking out through your fucking arm. I mean, the most remarkable thing about this isn't the fact that Ollie Watkins played on through the injury. It's that he's finally done it, Conan. He's finally headed a ball exactly where he wanted to. Absolutely unbelievable. And that was despite Matt Cash yet again unsuccessfully marking somebody from a set piece. Like, I can't believe he's let Ollie Watkins draft in front of him like that, to be honest. And initially I thought he didn't see Watkins, which, you know, is a problem in and of itself. Although it probably goes some way to explain why Matt Cash is such a fan of a Cruyff turn and pass backwards. You know, he can't actually see Ollie Watkins ever. So he thinks his only option is a pass to Konsa or a spank into the whole end. But he actually calls for him to leave it. So he's not blind. He's just got blind confidence. Matt Cash fancied that above our centre forward. And fair fucking play to him. That's what I say, Conan.
I think this is the best thing about this goal is that it got there before Matt Cash did. And I think we can only say, how often has Watkins seen Matt Cash charge forward, get to the corner of the box, make a couple of good runs, and just see the ball being lashed in any direction, in the general direction of the goals, and Watkins has to turn away and just accept that another ball has gone astray. And he, all he needed was the threat of Matt Cash trying to get the ball ahead of him, and he thought, fuck this, I'm getting up, and I am going to flick this to that back post like I have never done before. Nobody's ever going to want to get Matt Cash on the end of one of these again. And Tony on Twitter did call it fine as well. He said, finally a team that's worse at defending corners than us, because you have to say, it was awful. Imagine that was us. They have four boys just standing along in their six-yard box. Pau Torres takes one player running away, and suddenly our two most lethal shooters, Matt Cash and Ollie Watkins, are free.
And for their antennae not to be up as well, though, whenever we had three players out for the short corner. We're not taking a short corner. We're just dragging you out here. You just need to fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. Unbelievable that they didn't try to react to that. They didn't think, what's going on here? We're missing something. Is there extra space now that we've sent two men out with those two men? Nothing. They just let us whip the ball into the best centre forward in the competition's head.
Yeah, well, the best centre forward in the competition's head, not the best player in the world, because that belongs to Leon Bailey. And, you know, if I was very worried about Ollie Watkins going off injured, and I was and I am, it definitely was alleviated a little bit when I saw Leon Bailey starting to cook. When I saw John Duran put a bit of pressure on just to get that. Like, it didn't need a lot of pressure, let's be honest. But it just freaked out the Ajax defenders enough. And McGinn won't have an easier interception. McGinn looks surprised. He was standing there. He sort of looked around as the ball was just poked away at him. And he was like, there's nobody here. What was he trying to do? And then he realized, hang on, the game's on. Let's go. And then the ball comes to Leon Bailey. These step overs are just ridiculous how easy he does. There was one a few minutes before somebody played in the ball just down the right wing. And like, it's like you say, you don't understand what he's doing with the ball at his feet. And this one, I don't even know what he did. It was like he had the ball with his studs, almost like he was tripping over it. And he went left and right at the same time. I swear to God, at the same time. And I still don't know where the ball was. It was still like he was sliding on the ball with his studs. And he eventually just came charging up the right wing with it. This is just a more classic step over onto his right foot. But how easy does he make that goal? Like, it's absolutely frightening.
If Leon Bailey is one-on-one in space, forget about it. Like, seriously, I'm not joking. It might sound like, oh, he's doing that thing, that rhetorical trick, hyperbole and humor to emphasize a point. I'm not doing that. Like, if you're finding this funny, stop laughing. Take a breath. I'm going to give you a second to compose yourself.
Go.
If Leon Bailey has got the ball in front of you and there's 2 yards of space behind you, Leon Bailey will occupy that space. Like, I'm not a kinetic theorist or a statistical physicist, so I can't explain this. I was always told that was the property of a gas, but it describes Leon Bailey. Like, on Irish TV, we had Jerry Armstrong telling us that, referring to the defender, he's a young lad, he'll learn from that. There are no lessons to be learned from that, and certainly none that a left-back is going to understand. Like, this young fella had to play against Leon Bailey last night. He was under enough pressure. And then we have Jerry Armstrong insisting he goes off and completes a PhD in classical mechanics. It's completely impossible to comprehend that if Leon Bailey is in front of you with the ball and there's space behind you, Leon Bailey will be in that space. Ridiculous.
It's crazy. I'm gonna talk about him. No, I'm gonna just talk about him now because I haven't gone up on the Vyman meter, which is obvious, but it is because, like, this is before he scored a goal. I wrote down, is there anybody Bailey won't take on anymore? I don't think there is. And how often have coaches been pleading with players who are better than others on the pitch? Take him on. Stop being afraid. Take him on. As good coaches, by the way. Leon Bailey is just in that Goldilocks zone now. It's just, hang on. I am agile. I'm skillful. I'm powerful. I'm better than this player. Okay, this is just right. This defender is just right. I'll go by him. And he just does it. He does it over and over. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm just was waiting for you to finish it off by saying Leon Bailey is cooking porridge.
John Duran. I mean, I'm starting to judge John Duran for not scoring one of these every single game. He can strike this ball. It's a joke. It's phenomenal what he can do with his left foot when he's not falling over. Like, it's the power, the dip, the accurate. It doesn't even need to be that accurate. It's frightening the level of force he can generate with that left foot. And this is just, I mean, any ball that comes off the crossbar, off the line, off the crossbar has just won my heart. Like, it's never going to get better than that for me. Bang, bang, bang. It's so emphatic. It starts with Diaby darting forward as well. Tielemans gets up and wins ahead. Diaby was feeling good at that stage, and he came charging through the middle, and he looked sharp. He lost the ball, but he put enough pressure on the defender that it came out to John Duran, who has a look. It's like, yeah, why not? Bang! You know, again, I'm saying Bailey does this, and it looks very easy. I think this is easier for John Duran to do, and he should definitely be doing it at least once a game.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely, you said it, you called it there, it's absolutely lethal. It's absolutely unnecessary as well. I mean, there is no reason for Duran to hit that ball with that much power that early. He's got space he can walk under. And you can see poor Moussa Diaby, who's lost the ball and has now turned around to see where it is, facing John Duran with absolute terror in his eyes as he sees that John Duran is only about to do one thing with this ball. And there's been a lot of noise recently about Aston Villa's operating costs. You know, I can think of ways to fucking save money here. Get rid of this, lad. The amount of money we must be spending on structural engineers and new goal frames at the fucking training ground to try and make up for the amount of damage this fucking wrecking ball is doing must be off the fucking scales. A ridiculous goal.
He really is a wrecking ball. We'll talk more about him in the Rosenthal Award later on, I imagine. The fourth and final goal, Moussa Diaby is back. He's back again. And this is like the Peter Enkelman what the fuck award winner, clearly. Sousa just sliding into the ball like he was on the line with nothing else to do. He just has to get anything on this ball. Doesn't matter. It's going in. I don't know what is. Diaby looks shocked. And it's great to see that Diaby has that ruthless streak still somewhere in there that he thinks, I am punishing this fucker. What was he at? You can't go to ground and give up on running after me in this position. And Diaby comes in from the right. And it's just, I just love that, you know, when you're shaping for the far corner and you crash it into the near corner and putting it into the top corner is all the better. Lovely finish from Diaby.
Yeah, sliding into win a ball, it's not in contest. Jesus Christ, pal, give up. Like, this isn't the sport for you. And you're right, Diaby had given up and then he stopped running and he had to start again. I was worried about his hamstrings. Something's going to pop here because he's playing against this fucking loser. And it is, it is an absolutely lovely finish. And as he was bearing down in goal, I was just begging him to do that. He couldn't hear me, of course. I was begging the wall in my living room as I was sitting on my own watching Aston Villa play. And he did exactly what I wanted. That just shows completely, completely against everything, all the evidence we've had from the last couple of weeks, that he's got his confidence back, and maybe playing against Sousa every week gives you that kind of. But the other defender who was coming in as well, you know, blocked that bend into the far post. The keeper probably should have had his weight going on to the side that Diaby eventually hit the ball, but it struck with such authority that I don't really think that matters. But, you know, I'm not going to pass up an opportunity to say a keeper's shout.
Yeah, I'm not going to pass up an opportunity with Diaby as well to get the confidence back into him. That was brilliant, Moussa son. Keep that up. You've got that in your locker. Let's take a break and we'll come back with WhatsApp wages. Steph on Twitter wants a big, big fine for the Villa Park announcer for saying "Pow Wow Torres."
Jesus Christ!
Well,
I'm gonna fucking fine Steph for bringing that to my attention. Christ Almighty!
The two of us, I don't think we can actually slag the Villa Park announcer, because the two of us did put out a Villa podcast episode, and I'm pretty sure "Pow Wow" was one of the headlines on it.
I must get off that Twitter feed that I control for the Villa podcast and stop putting in ridiculous comments like that.
Douglas Luiz getting fined twice, just tried a first time ball out to the right. One was to Bailey, one was to Matt Cash. Either side of half time, throw in for one of them, corner first, not even a corner.
Did you say one of them was to Bailey and one of them's to Matt Cash? Neither of them were to anybody.
Look, I've got a bonus as well, so you know, I'm nothing if I'm not consistent, and I do like to reward people for avoiding some of these moments, like an unnecessary corner. 30 seconds into the game, Pau Torres doesn't concede an unnecessary corner. He's under a bit of pressure, but he understands physics. He can see how hard the ball is coming. He can see if this ball bounces, it should go to Martinez, or as happened, it'll go out anyway for a goal kick. Like anybody else, like Longley, in that position, is giving away a corner there 30 seconds into the match, and we are starting this match 1-0 down.
All right, but something for you to keep an eye on as well, though, Conan. He's conceding a lot of unnecessary throw-ins. For my taste, to be honest, for such a classy player, he's just, you know,
Powwow
is definitely knocking the ball out of play for throw-ins a few times when the ball's over the top. Very Clement Longley like of him, to be honest. And something for you to keep an eye on. I know I won't be marking the time, but you know, go through your notes.
The first WhatsApp wins. If Emery tells me we have to get on with it after this Watkins injury, I'm going to riot. At some stage, I need to know that Emery's feeling it as well. It's great. It's brilliant that we have somebody not as emotionally fragile as I am, and it's somebody who's just dragging us along, come what may. But somewhere along the way, I'd just like to hear him complain as well. I'd like to, like McGinn had to come out and say a few weeks, maybe a couple of months ago now, about how it's gone under the radar, the amount of injuries we have. It's because we've got a brilliant manager. I just want a Sky Sports graphic talking about the Aston Villa injuries to say, Jesus, look, they actually would have won the league if they didn't lose all these players. And if Ollie Watkins is out injured, I will have to be worked with. We're not doing another podcast if he's gone for any period of time. I cannot do it. I'm not doing it. And if on top of all that, if we go into the next game, West Ham, and it's St. Patrick's Day, and it's going to be a delayed podcast, you want me to watch that game later on that day, find out that Ollie Watkins isn't playing, find out that we didn't win, and then hear Emery saying, we've got no excuses, we're going to have to get on with it. I am going to have to be stopped. Villa Park will have to be saved from me, because I am just at the edge of my tether right now.
But you'll also be tuning into that match, kind of finding out that John Duran and Kurt Zouma have both been sent off because John Duran nodded him.
The second WhatsApp wins, it's a classic, but it always has to be brought up. Three goals, red card, no added time. What is the fucking rule here? What is, like, well, come on, I just want some consistency. We can't have 0 minutes of added time after a second half like that.
Yeah, he gave us 10 seconds, didn't he? Absolutely ridiculous. And 5 minutes in the first half as well. So it's not like he doesn't understand the rules that whenever the game has stopped, you're supposed to add on time at the end. It's like he added on all the time in the first half or something ridiculous.
I was covering a Sunday morning league match many years ago, and it was absolutely pissing down. Like, it was terrible weather. It was just at a sports complex in Derry, and I was just standing on a track covering this match. It was 6-0 after 60 minutes, and the ref happy to just leave it. Like, you know, you're not getting back into it. Nobody's enjoying it. We're all being pissed on. Will we just go home? And they blew it up, and the ref had to come over and ask me, will you not include that in your report? this is the Sunday morning league in Derry. This is in European football. Ajax and Aston Villa. This is Champions League winners taking each other. You can't just have a referee saying, ah, it's 4-0, look. You know, let's forget about it. If Villa score one more, Ajax have been, they've had inflicted onto them their greatest ever defeat in European football. I wanted to do that to Jordan Henderson, to Ajax.
You know, the best thing about this is, you know, there's going to be some intrepid wanker. You know, the type of person I'm talking about now, who's got nothing better to do, but who works as an administrator for the Derry and District Leagues, the Derry Sunday Leagues as well. He's going to be going back over all the reports that you filed in whatever newspaper it was you were working for back then. Find which one was written, was marked down as 6-0. Find that referee and then stack him. Although, to be honest, that ref doesn't really sound like his heart was in it. I'd be surprised if he's still doing it.
The last WhatsApp win, just coefficient carry-on is nonsense, right? But I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't make any sense. I'm looking at Villa getting Lille thinking, oh, God, the coefficient will be fucked if we lose that. But why, again, once again, I have to ask, why am I so desperate to get into the Champions League if I'm so worried about Villa beating Lille?
It's a very good question, Conor. It's probably one you can only answer yourself or, you know, talk to somebody who's a professional. I mean, I wouldn't be that worried about Lille. Lille, unfortunately, probably the only team left in the competition whose players I recognise. I think we'll dismiss Lille fairly easily. I'm more worried about the rest of the draws. It hasn't really gone that well for England. I mean, there's ties that they can fuck up here, and that would be a direct benefit to Germany. For example, Bayern Munich playing Arsenal. Borussia Dortmund had probably got the easiest tie they could have got as well. Not ideal. Bayer Leverkusen got a handy enough tie against West Ham. Like, you know, that's again, if they knock out another English side, yeah, they could. That what was such a good weekend up until, or such a good midweek up until the draw was made, could now be ruined.
Maybe we should be happy enough, because think if fifth place did get the Champions League spot, the automatic Champions League spot, just think how much more painful that will be when we come sixth. I'm only joking. The fight's still on. We're still fourth, as Unai Emery says. Let's take a break and we'll come back with the awards. Important for everybody to just fucking relax. When I say that Jack Grealish has a bad touch, I still know that Jack Grealish is amazing. This is football. This is most of the enjoyment of football, watching it in real time and dissecting it and picking it apart and chatting about it. That's why we watch football. We're not involved. We're not involved with Aston Villa Football Club. It's fine. We can all have a reasonable discussion.
We've invested so much of our lives, our time and our money into football and Aston Villa. We're allowed to complain about it. People make a mistake in thinking that you have to support everything that your club you support does. Don't. You know, I support Aston Villa. So if one of the players is shit, I don't want that player being there anymore, and I'll support him whenever he's playing. I'm not willing him to be shit. Yeah. But when he is shit after the game, it's okay to say that, because you might want to replace him. You're not going to get any better by just constantly saying, no, I think he's good enough. I think we should stick with Nyland.
Going to have to start with the Paul Merson. That's just filthy award. And this is dedicated to Leon Bailey times Moussa Diaby. We finally have Bailey and Diaby linking up. We finally have Bailey and Diaby working together. We finally have Bailey and Diaby creating the filth that we all saw on their YouTube reels before we signed them. And here they are now doing it together on the same pitch for the first time, I think. And there were three different nominations. I think Tom on Twitter asked, like, why are they only passing to each other? But I have to say, I was really enjoying it. In the second minute, it was a bit of Bailey and Diaby magic down the right-hand side. Bailey went by Jordan Henderson down the line, just that little left-to-right foot, and then he threaded this ball to Diaby, who, no, it was a bit ragged, but he got it through somebody's legs. He had to force his way through, and he got to the other side, and then he played a bad ball. He got inside, he played a bad ball. Rodgers was free. in the box, and he just did that thing where he just was hitting it across the box to anybody. And then the other two nominations was the Diaby outside of the boot ball to Leon Bailey, just down to the byline, and Bailey wins a corner. And then Bailey with the outside of the boot ball to Diaby. I think Diaby pulled out. I think the keeper's come out, and Diaby sort of slows down or curves his run a little bit. I think Bailey, we have to assume, has completely nailed that pass.
Yeah, very interesting. They're kind of finally linking up, exclusively linking up. Like, you know, that's all they've done since they've joined, is trying to pass the ball to each other. It's bizarre behavior, really. And that one where Leon Bailey plays the outside of the boot, there's a pass on to John Duran, I think it is, on the right as well. But I don't know, could he just not resist the outside of the boot pass, or could he just not resist passing the ball to Diaby? The little left to right foot around Jordan Henderson at the start of the first half, down at the right back spot as well. That was ridiculous, because he was on the sideline when he moved the ball to his right foot and still managed to keep the ball in play somehow. Absolutely incredible. Like I said, he defies explanation.
The only other half nomination was Moreno just before the end of the first half, in the 50th minute before the first half finished. And Moreno with the ball at left back and just did a little chip over the head to Morgan Rogers. I think that's simple enough for those boys, really. But it just looked nice, and it got the ball away in a nice, comfortable fashion. The Ronnie Rosenthal Award, we've got some chances to go through here. Ollie Watkins intercepted from the goalkeeper's pass. It reminded me of Adrian in that 7-2 win over Liverpool. And his touch is just so heavy. He's giving the keeper and the defender too much respect there. And he just, as he intercepts it, he knocks it out for a goal kick from outside the box. Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm all for you being positive with your touches and trying to get yourself in. But come on, just take a touch and get in on that keeper.
Yeah, I think he couldn't believe it. I think that must be it. I don't know. Did he saw the opportunity and was sprinting and forgot that as he was sprinting, he would also have to slow down his right foot as it was controlling the ball. Ridiculously heavy touch for such a good footballer.
Second nomination, brilliantly on Bailey, free kick. Moreno goes into the net without the ball. You forgot the ball, you dummy.
I was thinking, does he pull out of that? Does he pull out because he knows he's not getting there, or does he not get there because he pulls out? Like, maybe because he was playing against Amsterdam and he was just having flashbacks and realized the best thing to normally do in that situation is to pull out. I don't know. I don't know what was going on. It was strange.
Bailey fizz one just wide. Rogers came inside and played a nice pass to Diaby. It's a poor touch from Diaby, but he composed himself, picked out Bailey, who shifts it onto his left and gets it wide. And then Diaby doesn't dive again. How many times have they watched Diaby not winning penalties for not diving? this all comes from, I know you won't like that, so I'll let you come in now. This all comes from Rogers. Rogers coming central again, and he's driving forward, and he plays it to Diaby, who gets around the keeper, and he waits. Next week, he gets around the keeper, who doesn't dive, and he waits, and he looks up, he does the right thing. But I think Watkins does get free then, and Diaby's looking at him, but then he sees the keeper, and he panics, and he shoots, but just terrible stuff in the end.
Yeah, the Leon Bailey one, I think you said fizzed it just white. It was dreadful. I mean, it was absolutely lovely football, and the build-up to it was aggressive, probing, and then the two real moments where the quality mattered. Diaby's touch was dreadful. He does really well with the pullback then, and then Bailey's finish on his weaker left foot is absolutely dreadful. And then, FIFA gave a fair play award to a little bald Nazi because he caught a ball that he wasn't going to win above his head at the edge of a packed box. And now twice we have seen Moussa Diaby in the world where if you get touched on the football field, you'll have analysts zooming in and going, there, that's where the contact is. You'll have the England captain going on to national TV, being interviewed and being asked about a dive that he completed and say, no, I felt the contact and went down, otherwise known as diving. That's the world we currently live in. But they will not give Moussa Diaby a fair play award for this. And they will also, strangely enough, not give him a penalty. Moussa Diaby is fouled. He's just stayed on his feet. It's absolutely ridiculous. Moussa Diaby will score a lot easier there. He will have had his composure a lot easier had he not been tripped by the goalkeeper in the lead-up to him trying to finish the ball. Absolutely. You can give the penalty for that. He's been fouled in the box. Fucking numpties. Ruined it. It's so easy to fix the things that people actually care about in the sport, like diving. It's so easy to fix these things. You go for retrospective bans. You give fouls whenever somebody has been fouled but doesn't dive. You don't give fair play awards to little bald Nazis. Like, there's loads of other things you can do here instead of coming up with bonkers ideas like fucking yellow, blue cards or whatever else Arsene Wenger wants to do.
Rodgers hit one over. Like, nice dip on that. We might see more of that from him. But then the only real chance that Ajax had was Cash clearing it off the line. Actually, it was good that he was alert for that, because I assume something went wrong, because Moreno was so casual here. The ball comes along the end line. I just thought it might have gone out of play. Somebody was offside. Moreno just seemed to give up on it, and we need Cash to just scrape on away off the line and then.
Yeah, it's amazing. Matt Cash's propensity for defending too deep finally pays off. that's unfair. That's actually twice he's done that now, the diving header off the line as well against Luton that they eventually scored from as well. But that's two brilliant goal line clearances from Matt Cash. Bizarre from Moreno. I think were it not for Sosa's attempted interception for the Abbey goal, like, this would be winning the What the Fuck award. The brilliant defender from Matt Cash, dreadful defending from his fullback partner. Sorry, you're being completely unfair to Emmy Martinez. They actually had another chance where Robbie was straight through the goal, and Emmy Martinez. This is the thing that's so remarkable about Emmy Martinez. This is what we're talking about in the World Cup final, where he makes himself so big and he waits and he makes the save. Then it's not just that he's making himself so big; he's put himself in a position where he can still move his body to where the ball is going to end up while making the defender, the forward, at panic because the goalkeeper is so big. And he does that, he makes himself massive again, and then he reacts and just dives down and takes the ball from his feet when he realizes he can.
Yeah, he's brave enough. Like, he's diving across his knees and he's going a full flight, and he's brave enough as well to leave the gap for him. Once again, he directs somebody, sheepdogs him into where he wants to go, and then just swipes the ball away from him. And then let's do the John Duran second half very quickly. I mean, he's so strong, so fast down that right-hand side. He doesn't get his touches right. The defender's falling over himself. I know there's probably a six of one, half a dozen of the other between the two of them. And his touches just aren't right, and it doesn't get on his left foot that he wants, but he's still going to have it on his left foot anyway, and he completely balloons and slices it over. He's going for a curler at the top corner, but it comes off his little toe, you have to say. It's just the way it comes. It's an awful connection. I'll just read out the rest of them and go through them. The Moreno first time cross into Duran, hits it off the keeper. And then there's a hint of a foul, but the keeper's made to save. So he's going to get away with it. Mm. And then Duran header straight to the keeper. Pretty bad from the corner. And then the Douglas Luiz drive and pass. And, I mean, Duran's just going straight for the juggler. Just the defenders are afraid. The defenders are so afraid of this man coming at him. He sort of got options to the right and left, but he's got space because defenders are backing off from him. But even though he has all that space and all that time, he still falls over anyway as he's hitting. And then the only other one was the keeper. This is more of a Diaby chance, really, but the keeper gives it to Duran, gives it to Diaby, who gives it back to the keeper.
Yeah, I mean, the first one you're talking about there, it was great fight from Duran. Unfortunately, it was literally fighting, and the referee brought it back for the free kick after he grabbed the lad around the neck. The finish is absolutely dreadful. Hitting it with his little toe describes it perfectly. The next one, he said the keeper's made the save. That is so kind, Conan. The keeper has come out and not had a clue where the ball is, fouls John Duran, but the ball accidentally hits off the keeper's ankles and saves him from giving away a penalty. That is atrocious piece of analysis from you there. The keeper's made the save. The ball hit the keeper as he was diving in the opposite fucking direction. And then the other one, again, showing great fight, literally palming off the defender. And you said going for the juggler. Jesus Christ, that couldn't have been more accurate either, because he actually just grabbed the guy by the face, essentially. The Diaby one. I cannot believe that Duran has passed that to Diaby. That is so unlike him. And for Diaby, looks like he's showing loads of composure there. He's just trying to roll it into the bottom corner. Maybe he just feels bad for the goalkeeper because he just gives it back to him. Maybe he just feels like, come on, we're not going to score from this. We can't just give them back the ball. This is ridiculous. Maybe he is desperately trying to win a FIFA Fair Play Award. I don't know. It was a terrible finish anyway.
What do you have as a winner? Maybe Diaby?
I definitely think there's enough space at that front post for him to not just hit it straight at the goalkeeper. I think he can roll that in. Not even roll. He actually hit it with a bit of venom. Like, he literally trickles it back to the goal. I'm actually now talking myself around to the fact that he is going out of his way to win a FIFA Fair Play Award.
Let's do the Vyman meter before we finish up. Going up. I got my cash going up. I've got him going up. He doesn't get on the end of the first goal. And he does save. He does save a goal at the other side. So he has to go up for that point of view.
Absolutely. It's amazing. Last-ditch defending for Matt Cash, which we all know is brilliant at.
Emi Martinez is going up. Pau Torre is going up now. That's the first most complete game since he's been back. So that's exciting, especially now if we drop Konsa in alongside him going forward. That could be good. I've got Moussa Diaby going up. He has to go up. We have to positively reinforce him. We already talked about Bailey. I've got John McGinn going up, and then I just get annoyed then when I think about that he's not going to be available for three games. It's like, yeah, great. Great to see your pitching wage. Great to see you controlling that match at centre midfield. Oh, Brennan, you're not available for three matches. Great stuff.
Yeah, the only other person only other thing I have going up is the ranking of the Europa Conference League, according to Jerry Armstrong. Jerry Armstrong didn't know what competition this was. So weirdly, a lot of people don't know what I'm talking about. We're watching on Irish TV, obviously, and Jerry Armstrong is the analyst. Well, that's a very kind word. Jerry Armstrong is the lad sitting next to the commentator.
And sorry, Jerry Armstrong is the boy who used to play for Northern Ireland. He scored a hat-trick against Spain in a World Cup match, and that's why he does a lot of the La Liga matches now as well. People have watched La Liga before.
And but like during the, he hasn't watched the Europa Conference League before, because at one point in the commentary he says Liverpool are one of the favourites for this competition, as the information was coming in that Liverpool were 6-1 up or whatever it was, and then he was talking about Ajax. He said he saw Ajax in the group stages of this competition and they were awful. Amazing they got through, isn't it, Jerry? Even the fact that he said he's seen them lose every game in the fucking competition they were in, and they've made it through to the round of 16. They haven't made it through, Jerry. They were in a different competition and they got relegated to this one, the one you're currently commentating on for money.
That's brilliant. He must be looking at this thinking, Jesus, Brighton, West Ham, Villa, Liverpool are all in this. That's just the English teams. This must be the best competition on earth. The only other person I have going down, and it's not a new thing, but it is worth talking about. It's Gareth Southgate. And this isn't a Jordan Henderson hit. Nothing to do with Jordan Henderson right now. It's to do with Calvin Phillips. And I know people would say, but sure, you would have just complained if Calvin Phillips was in the team. But this is the thing. Like, Gareth Southgate confirms he was more impressed by the Man City logo on his tracksuit bottoms or his coat in the stands than he is by Phillips actually playing football and playing football for a top eight team. Like, Calvin Phillips is the only player to lose his international place by actually playing football. I mean, him playing football has done him no favours. Southgate liked him better when he wasn't playing football, and he's confirmed that. Take away the Man City goggles and Southgate is not interested. He's sobered up.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this before. I mean, the classic example is Callum Hudson-Odoi, who, you know, he was saying he needs to see, it was Jack Grealish at the time, he needs to see him play in the Premier League more often, but he was happy enough to never have seen Callum Hudson-Odoi play in the fucking Premier League, with his four appearances having come off the bench for Chelsea. The more interesting thing about this England squad is the furore around fucking Ben White. I mean, this doesn't matter at all. Why are we talking about this? Like, why is this a talking point? We're talking about Ben White. We're talking about the England right-back spot. He doesn't get within an ass's roar of the England team unless Lemony Snicket got involved. I mean, fuck me. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Kyle Walker, Reece James, Kieran Trippi, and Ezri Konsa are all better right-backs than Ben White. And people are talking, oh, what's going on here? Why is Ben White not in England? Of course he's not, and who cares? We're going to need to dig up Alec Guinness to remake Kind Hearts and Coronets if Ben White ends up in this fucking England team. That's how many right-backs he'll have to kill.
It is an interesting way of looking at it, isn't it? Because people criticise Ben White as well then for not making himself available. Southgate wanted to bring him in. Oh, plays for Arsenal, of course he wanted to bring him in. But Ben White knows that he's not going to play as well, so maybe there's something to that. Matt Cash knew he wasn't going to play, so he went to Poland. Nobody's on Matt Cash's case now because he's not available to play for him. Maybe we should be putting Ben White up on the Vyman meter after all.
Yeah, it's hard to say what's the most interesting thing here. Somebody rejecting the chance to represent their country, or the fact that Gareth Southgate wanted to pick Ben White in the first place.
Okay, let's leave it there. We're going to be back. It's going to be another late record on or this weekend after the West Ham match. I think it's going to be a Monday record. Well, I know it's going to be a Monday record. I don't know. I'm afraid to just tell you that. It's going to be a Monday record this week. So you got plenty more chance to send us a message on Instagram or Twitter if you want to be involved in the show. It's your show too. And we'll chat to you then. Enjoy your weekend. Hope it's a good one. It's a long one for the Irish listeners, so you especially enjoy it. Happy St. Patrick's Day, and hopefully we'll see Ollie Watkins, and hopefully we'll see another Aston Villa victory and another John Duran crossbar line crossbar goal. See you later. All the best.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.